You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 10 December. We had Chinese November inflation a couple of hours ago, year on year, 0.7%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Chantal Marks, F&B Wealth and Investments. I want to touch local banks. A bit of a mixed bag, although generally good, still offering value. We're going to be chatting with Herman from Pump & Dorp. He is from Momentum Investment. Looking ahead to 2026, and then what about Forex moving money offshore? What is with those crazy spreads we see when we're walking through the shopping mall? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. The FSCA slaps Bankso and directors with 2 billion rand penalty, refers matter to the police, found widespread misappropriation of client funds, false promises and deliberate misconduct by directors. Business Day, IMF lifts SA growth forecasts, but warns structural barriers still restrict economy. Revised projections show modest growth, but it's still not thrilling. Morning markets, the US was mixed. S&P was down 0.1%. NASDAQ was up 0.2%. The East is all red. We've got Sydney and Tokyo almost 0.5% down. Hong Kong is 0.33% off, and Tencent nearly 0.5% lower. Commodities mostly green. Gold futures, 4,238. Brent is the red on the screen at 61.98. Platinum, 1,688. And palladium, 1,539. The rand is 1,704. Bitcoin, 92,400. And top 40 opening call, green open, 120 points or 0.1%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning time. At banks, if we go back to the beginning of the year, they were really, really cheap. Just on a simple sort of price-to-book metric, we were getting dividend yields in the high single digits, which is, in many cases, more than you would have got if you put money in the bank. Fast forward to year end, the banks have had a decent year, some better than others, but I don't think they're still looking expensive. Although there is the two tranches, of course. Absa, Nedbank, lower end, Standard Bank, middle, first rand at the top. Your thoughts on our banking sector as we sort of have some green shoots coming into our economy?
Don't forget the very top, Simon.
Capitec. I ignored
on an
Capitec.
8.5 times price to book. Yeah, I mean, I think that if you look at the bank updates that we've gotten over the last week or so, as well as the corporate activity that's going on there, the focus is very much on growth. And I think it's a bit of a step change from what we saw outside of Capitec over the last few years, where banks have been extremely conservative in their lending because they had to protect their business at a time where the economy really wasn't doing much. But green shoots in the economy emerging means that these banks are perhaps now thinking, well, not perhaps, it's what they explicitly stated in their update, that they need to open the taps. Advances growth is expected to pick up over the next year or so. And then you also have some of these self-help stories like Absa and Nedbank, and you have the growth angles as well with several fintech acquisitions coming through. And I think these guys are really going to push non-interest revenue growth as well. In that context, when you're looking at historic price-to-book ratios, it's probably not fully capturing what we are going to see going forward. That book value is going to increase, meaning that price-to-book value is going to be lower if we use today's prices. And using that logic, banks don't look expensive.
I get your point in that. Of course, the book is not a static number by any stretch, and it will grow. You kind of kicked the door open from Capitec. They are a special case in many ways, not just on their valuation or on their performance over the last 20 years since listing, like days after Sumbo went bust. I mean, Do they deserve their status as sort of that crazy outlier?
I do think so. I think if you're looking at earnings growth going forward, Capitec is still expected to surpass the earnings growth of the rest of the banking sector, and by quite a margin. They've really shown that they are able to tap different avenues of growth, and I think that they're only getting started. specifically, if you just think about something like home loans. Mm-hmm. This is new for Capitec.
Yeah.
Credit card. It's relatively new for Capitec. So there are still so many avenues for them to grow. And I think that they'll continue on that trend. Does it justify an 8.5x price to book? It's difficult, but you need to kind of close your eyes with this one because you can't use normal valuation metrics when you're looking at Capitec because of that massive difference in the growth numbers.
Yeah, I take your point on that, absolutely. And even just okay, their mobile offering, which is doing astounding numbers. We'll leave it there. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Always appreciate the early morning. And that's our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter. Banks offering value for 2026. Chantal makes a great point there about the book part of the price to book number, but I think there is some value, particularly with the green shoots we are seeing. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money weather the storms for Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Herman von Pumpendorp. He is Head of Asset Allocation at Momentum Investment Group. Herman, appreciate the early morning. Let's start offshore. Let's start with U.S. equities that are looking expensive. And it's more than just the Mag 7. We've even got the equal weight S&P at highs. We've got the S&P X Mag 7 at highs. In a recent note you put out, there is profit growth. And if that profit growth remains solid, we could see a soft landing scenario. But the returns going forward perhaps is going to be a little bit more constrained and not much room for disappointment or missing targets.
Yes, good morning, Simon. Yes, absolutely. I think what we saw this year so far, I mean, year to date, roughly the U.S. equity market, roughly up about 20%, something around 17% for the S&P and about 22% for NASDAQ. So let's call it 20%. I think those kind of returns unlikely to be seen next year again. Whether we're going to see a significant decline in the equity market is also probably very unlikely because we have this very strong profit growth we still have. The big risk for the U.S. equity market would be if we have a recession in the U.S. So if we have a hard landing, that's obviously the big risk for U.S. equities because then the profit growth will not be forthcoming and that will expose the high valuations. But I think as we see things stand at the moment, we're likely to go through a little bit of a soft patch in the next quarter or so when the tariff impact comes through into growth and into inflation. But beyond that, I think as we move through the year, the growth picture will look relatively solid in the U.S. So I think when we have that fiscal stimulus from President Trump starting to come through, the Fed cutting rates further, and you have this kind of very strong profit growth environment, it's unlikely to see a significant decline in the U.S. equity market. So we're probably in for a sort of a U.S. equity market that will give you roughly sort of high single digits kind of returns during the course of 2026.
Yeah, which is not a bad number. It is undoubtedly down on previous returns, but not a bad number. If we go broader, and okay, so let's take it as a given that the U.S. is going to give us softer returns into 2026. If I look at this year, emerging markets have done better. I mean, make no mistake, the S&P and NASDAQ were good numbers, but I raise you a 61% for our local market in dollars. Is 2026 perhaps a year of emerging markets continuing to outperform some of the developed markets?
Simon, I definitely think so. I think when we look at all the fundamentals for emerging markets, we have that weak dollar kind of environment likely to be maintained in 2026 because remember, firstly, structurally, global investors are saying, well, we have question marks about the U.S. as a reliable investment destination. So structurally, that puts some pressure on the dollar. But then also in the next couple of quarters, as I said, you know, we like to go through a soft patch in the U.S. economic growth scenario. So you'll probably erode some of that positive growth gap between the U.S. and other developed markets. So from a growth differential perspective, probably some pressure on the U.S. as well. And then from an interest rate differential perspective as well, the Fed is likely to cut rates much more than other other developed market central banks. So again, from an interest rate differential and a growth differentials perspective, and then the structural issue, you're likely to see a weak dollar in 2026. And a weak dollar is good for emerging markets. So historically, you know, emerging equity markets outperform developed equity markets significantly in this kind of dollar weakness environment. It started to happen in 2025, but we've actually seen a lag of that outperformance of the dollar weakness. So I think there's still a bit of catch up from 2025. And then if we see a the sort of the dollar weakness being maintained in 2026, you're likely to see that EM outperformance of DM continuing. But it's not only the dollar.
Yeah.
We also started seeing earnings revisions becoming positive in 2025 in emerging markets.
Yeah.
So upward expectations of profits outpacing the downward revisions. So that's a positive underpin fundamentally for emerging market equities. And then we should not forget that the AI theme is also a good theme in emerging markets. A lot of AI-linked companies in emerging markets, and they've got higher growth rates than the US AI theme. So the valuation gap is not so much there anymore. I mean, AI, EM trading at same kind of valuation in the US, but they give you higher growth.
Yeah,
from a PE to growth perspective, that's a big positive underpin for EM relative to DM. So all of these kind of fundamental factors underpinning, and then EM is not expensive.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, therefore, that's a big positive for EM in the global framework.
Yeah, absolutely. Not expensive relative to, and the US, of course, the other side is. If we bring it back home, we've seen some foreigners buying of our bonds. But if we, you know, talking around EM's doing better, South Africa is a high beta play on EM equities. We should start, all things being equal, start to see some more foreigner buying of our equities finally, because they have been continuing to be, last time I checked, Arthur, net sellers.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we haven't seen the foreigners arriving in the equity market in SA. As you rightly pointed out, I mean, they've been buyers of our bonds, so they've been believers that, you know, SA bonds is value. But they have not been believers on SA equities as yet. Now, firstly, I mean, history will show you that you first need to see the equity market performing well, and then coming onto the radar screens of global equity investors, and then they start coming into our local markets. I think what we have seen this year is that strong recent SA equity performance, that's likely to start rekindling a little bit of that long dormant foreign investor interest in SA equities. So we should start seeing that. And then if you put that back to my earlier point on emerging market equities, if you start seeing an increased global allocation to EM equity, now down the food chain, those global inflows into EM equity will also start supporting SA equity.
Yeah.
As you rightly pointed out, I mean, SA is a high beta play on EM equity. So the combination of those from a flow perspective is pretty positive. And then we still have those SA fundamentals also underpinning SA asset classes. You've got rate cuts, SARB still probably kind of cut a couple of times during the course of 2026. We have at least a positive growth delta in South Africa. You know, we're coming off a hell of a low base. Last year, 0.5% growth. This year, probably somewhere between 1 and 1.5. Next year, probably 1.5+. So at least we're going in the right direction. So for those domestic-linked companies on the SA equity market, you should start seeing a little bit of underpin for them as well. And then, obviously, on top of all of this, valuations. If you think EM is cheap, South Africa is even cheaper than EM. I mean, we're trading at one standard deviation cheap relative to EM, and EM is cheap to DM. So you can just think how cheap we are relative to developed market equities. And then even relative to our own history, you know, SA equities are about half a standard deviation cheap relative to our own forward PE over the last 30 years or so.
Yeah, absolutely. Value. And as you say, as we have, as we sort of the foreigners start to see the numbers flashing up, the good returns, they will start coming through. We'll leave it there. Herman from Pampendorp, he is head of asset allocation, Momentum Investment Group. Appreciate the early morning. Let your money benefit from experience with Stanlib Asset Management. Find out about Stanlib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money.
Chatting now with Harry Scherzer, he's CEO of Future Forex. Harry, help me understand a riddle here. I wander through a shopping center or an airport, and I see these dealers who will change money for me, and I look at the rates that they offer. I can have any one of half a dozen apps on my phone. the rates that they offer always seem to be way out of kilter on the numbers I'm seeing. Is this, I mean, is this just their margin, I suppose? I mean, it's 2, 3, 4, 5% away from the number that I can see on an app on my phone.
How's it, Simon? Great to chat to you this morning. Yeah, you're 100% right. So what ends up happening is these guys will often say no commission or no fees or something like that, because they're not charging any actual fee. But what they're doing is they're making all their money off the margin, what they can buy the dollars at, let's say, and what they sell it to you at. And this is exactly what happens with the banks, but the banks are a little bit cleverer about it, right? They don't do the same as what you're saying, where they say no commission. They'll charge you, call it 500 Rand, 1,000 Rand to send your money offshore, but really that's not where their money's being made. Their money's being made off that exact same margin of, say, 2% on, let's say, 1 million Rand, which is 20,000 Rand. Yeah, so it's a similar story.
So your 500 or maybe 1,000 Rand you think you're paying is suddenly actually a vast amount. And as I think the key thing here is that often when we're moving money, and I know I've fallen into this trap, I'm trying to chase the perfect rate. And I should probably be honest with myself and say, you know what, I've never got it. In all of my years, I've never got the perfect rate. What's more important, frankly, is to focus on my fee, because, as you say, that can be 20K and 1 million Rand. Stop chasing the rate. Focus on the fee.
Yeah, we can't predict the fee, Simon. If we could, we'd all be millionaires, right? We don't know where the Rand's going to go. But what we do know is we can minimize what's charged to us when we transfer money. So both in terms of how much is charged and also the support given when sending money. And these are the things we can control.
And that support is often important. And it is also, I mean, it's the other side of the coin as well. It often seems to take, I don't know, an overly long time. Is that just the system, or is that some institutions just, I don't know, being maybe a little slacker than others?
It's a bit of both, Simon. So you have an underlying system, which is the SWIFT system for sending money abroad. And the SWIFT system can be slow. But over and above that, certain banks can take days to submit paperwork. And that's really unfair on a business or an individual wanting to send money abroad. So there's a little bit of both at play here. So that's why, I mean, in my view, you should be working with a provider that's, number one, reputable, but number two, has a reputation of doing things as quickly and as cheaply as possible.
Yeah. You want that money to go. Last question. So taking money offshore, my first 1 million Rand, no sweat, no questions. My next, I can do another 10 million. It's approval of international transfer. I need that from SARS. The important part here is we're talking a calendar year, which I think a lot of folks think it's the tax year, but it's actually the January to December, if I'm correct.
That's 100% right. The way SARS works is in calendar years. So on 1 January, all allowances reset. That 10 million Rand resets, whether you've used all 10 million of it, whether you've used none of it. Mm-hmm. On 1 January, everyone has 10 million. And as you say, 1 million, no sweat. And so it does work on calendar years, as you say.
Okay. So in other words, end of December is your deadline. Folks, you've got 3 weeks left. We'll leave it there.
Exactly.
That's Harry Scherzer, CEO of Future Forex. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. I was chatting with Jimmy Muyoha yesterday. We were talking the SPA results. And I have to say, when I first looked at them, man, I wasn't massively impressed. But the market liked them. Jimmy made the point, and it was a fair point. He made a couple, and he said, you know what? Europe kind of fixed up the SAP issue that they've been having in KZN is now behind them. Now they can sort of get back to their, I suppose, their bread and butter operations, which is being SPA and sort of refocus. And that perhaps more than anything what the market liked. And you know what? Sometimes bad results are just less bad than expected. We asked you on Twitter and LinkedIn if SPA is good for your portfolio. 2/3 said that's still a long way to go. 1/4 said, yeah, in time. The rest said, yes, good recovery. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nubukle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow. Anchors picks for 2026.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now on the money.